come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready? Here we go. We're wise, right? We're wise. Here we go. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars of heaven. Daniel 12 verse 3 NLT. Okay, come on, here we go. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars of heaven. Daniel 12 verse 3 NLT. One more time. Here we're going to do it. Here we go. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars of heaven. Daniel 12 verse 3 NLT. Good job. Okay, put on your Daniel hats. Here we go. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you've gone before us and that you, Lord, have taken everything that we have learned in Daniel and you've ingrained it into our hearts, Lord, that when that we need to be people of prayer, we need to be people who commit ourselves completely and wholly to you, Lord, that there is nothing that will overtake us, that you are in complete control of our lives. We do not need to fear anything, Lord, that we can trust in you. And we're just so thankful for everything that you've given us, Lord, and particularly during this study, for the way that you've provided in every way that was necessary. Thank you, Father, that you are here with us right now in by way of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for a real evidence of your Holy Spirit as we just learn of you, Lord, and encourage one another. And Father, we thank you. We just want to pray for Teresa as she's doing her first treatment today or talking to someone about the treatment. I'm not sure which, but Lord, we just give it to you. We pray, Father, for healing, complete healing in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would take care of her and just go before our Lord. And thank you for your many blessings that you pour out on us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was told during our time of prayer this morning that we need to do one song this morning. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. There we go. Now we're all on the same page. We're all ready. Okay, so as we're in this last chapter of the book of Daniel, I want to draw to your attention that the theme verse, the verse that encapsulates this book, is chapter 4, verse 17. This is not an overview. We are going into chapter 12. And that verse says, chapter 4, verse 17 of the book of Daniel, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. God is sovereign over all history. This is letting us know, this book has let us know, that God himself sets kings and removes kings. It has nothing to do, although it has nothing to do with a voting process. It has nothing to do with, although we do our responsibility in that. I'm not saying that we don't do our responsibility in that. We do what God tells us to do. We have a freedom for voting. We need to do that. We need to challenge things that are not correct. And we have that responsibility as well. But the outcome is in the Lord's hands. We do what God tells us to do, and God does what he does. And so everything is in control. And Daniel shows us that. He puts them in government and takes them out. The book of Daniel began with the destruction of Jerusalem. It ends with the reestablishment of Jerusalem and of the new kingdom that God will bring on us. The opening words of the chapter at that time refers to the time of the end. It will be three times in that first verse, three times it will show up at that time. At the time of the end, at the time of the end. And you've heard people, I've heard people even recently in their teaching saying, we've been saying that for a very long time. We're warned from saying that particular thing. God will do what he said he will do. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. He will come back for his church just like he said he would. And we need to hang on to that. If the first 11 chapters of, or the first portion of Daniel all came to pass, then these last three are going to come to pass as well. They haven't as yet, but they will come to pass. And so the opening words of that time. So remember that these three chapters go together, 10, 11, and 12. Chapter 10 was the giving of the vision. The chapter 11 was the seeking for the revelation of it. And chapter 12 is this is what the vision is. And so at that time refers to the time of the end. And it's clear that Israel can expect unprecedented times of trial. Unprecedented. At that time, Michael shall stand up. That goes with the last verse. At that time, at the end, Michael will stand up, because what will have happened at this time that Michael stands up is the abomination of desolation, when Michael stands up and he begins to do battle for the Jews at that time. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So that's who Michael is. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Trouble that is worse than any trouble that has ever been or ever will be again. We see that also in Matthew 24, 21. We see it also in Mark 13, 19. Troubles that we can't even imagine. It's called the Great Tribulation in Revelation 7:14. It speaks of the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24:15, and the same as that is in verse 11 here. Daniel, John, and the Lord Jesus relate the Great Tribulation to a judgment that has come upon the whole world immediately preceding the coming of the Son of Man to earth in power and great glory. Not with Greg Laurie, as that sounds. Although Greg Laurie might be coming with him at that particular time, he is coming with great glory. And Matthew 24, 29 on that. So this could not be speaking of that time of Jerusalem in 70 AD. This is speaking of a time when at the end of it, Jesus Christ will come. And so this time of trouble that we're talking about here, we have, when I was going over this, I was going, we've seen in our time in World War I, you know, I was not here in World War I. I don't think any of you guys were here in World War I. But we've seen the atrocities that can happen during the war. World War I, World War II, unimaginable things, wars that have gone on. We've seen things go on amongst men that are just unbelievable things that they do to one another. We've seen horrible times. We've seen starvation. We've seen plagues. We've seen all of these things. And yet this scripture here in Daniel says it's going to be worse than anything we have ever seen before. And this promise will come true. And so this is the 69 weeks led us to the cross. And now this is the 70th week that was talked about in chapter 9. So we're moving into that 70th week, that seven-year span of time, when the wrath of God is poured out. Now, when the wrath of God is poured out, I don't know if you've heard the translation of the word that means wrath of God. The wrath of God will not be poured out on his children. The church, the people who belong to him, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, will be taken before this tribulation happens. Because we are not appointed unto his wrath. The wrath of God is a Greek word, orge, O-R-G-A. And it means calculated, rational, focused anger. Calculated, rational, focused anger. That's the wrath of God. And it's there for a purpose. And it will do its work at that time. It's a time of judgment. It's a time of discipline. And a friend of mine shared with me a little illustration of what it means that we would not, God would not allow us to suffer his wrath. He said he built a little playhouse in his backyard. And the kids came and they said, oh, there's a wasp nest inside our playhouse out there. Could you do something about it? And so they all went out there together and the kids went into the house. And at that time, their father sprayed the stuff on the wasp nest and then closed the door and walked away. Would a parent do that? No. He would not want them to experience the wrath of the hornets. God does not want us to experience his wrath either. And so we will be taken out, and I hope that that helps you to understand that. And it says that everyone who is found, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. I want to make it clear, not every Jew will be delivered at that time. It says the ones that are your people, the ones that belong to you, the ones who have given their heart and their lives over to you, everyone who is found written in the book. It is the book of the Lamb's book of life. Moses spoke of it in Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32. The psalmist spoke of it in Psalm 69, 28. In Revelation 3, 5, we find it again in 1 John 5:5. And it goes on to say, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And so what we're looking at here is that spiritual resurrection. Every one of those that are raised from the dead had to have had a spiritual resurrection to begin with. They had to have given their lives to Christ before that happened. They had given their lives to God before that happened. And that was their spiritual resurrection. This is their physical resurrection. This will be the physical resurrection that will happen. And then there will be a national resurrection, a national resurrection being of that resurrection of the Jerusalem and of the land of Israel and the Jewish people. And so all of these resurrections are not at the same time. It's all in God's timing. The tribulation will be the darkest period in human history. And no matter how hard the times have been or will be, the darkest times allow the largest opportunity for us to share Christ. Have you found that you have shared the Lord more since you have been when you were in a tough time? When that thing that we just went through, when it first started, remember how people got online and I had verses, I had words of encouragement, I had all those things that drew us to Christ. We were reading about the Word of God. We were reading the Word of God. We were in there together. We were getting our eyes set on the Lord in the midst of it. Those were dark times, but still nothing in comparison to what will be. And it is an opportunity for letting the gospel light shine. Those who are wise. So some of them will be raised to everlasting life. That will be before the millennium. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. That will be after the millennium that those will be raised and be sent to where they are supposed to be. So, as far as I understand it. So, those who are wise, those who have given their lives to Christ, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel and John were speaking of those who will defy the decree of the Antichrist that all worship him and courageously teach others the pure gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 24:14. So he's talking about those during the time of the tribulation that will be there and that will make their light shine so brightly. We are all to shine as lights in Matthew 5:14 and 16. You are the light of the world, so let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. But we don't hide it under a bushel. We shine. In John 5:35, he was a burning and shining light, speaking of John the Baptist. You were darkness, but now you are light, Ephesians 5:8. We are light. We are to walk in the light. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine. Can I see hands of righteous? Righteous? Righteous means that you've given your heart to Christ. We are the righteous ones because we've given our lives to Christ. So, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:43. We will shine. Then we will shine now. I love that you ladies shine. I love the way you share Christ. I love the way that you love the Lord. I love the way that you love each other and that you show each other. You show the world what it is to be a real Christian, to be a real Christ follower. You know, you can't use the word Christian in some countries, not because you'll get arrested, but because the word Christian has gotten such a bad name. Because Christians lived like the world. But I don't see that here. I don't see that in you. I see you walking with the Lord. I see you shining. I see the brightness of your countenance because you've invested time with the Lord. Because you've been with Him, your countenance changes. The world has its stars who appeal to that sensual, to sensuality in man, and they receive their corruptible crowns, 1 Corinthians 9:25. They get their reward here. There are celebrities, and you know what? There are celebrities in the church who have their crown now because some are living for themselves, for the glory that they can get. But those who are living for the Lord, it's different. But God has His stars who appeal to the spiritual needs of men, and God's stars will receive their reward. We shine and we draw people to God, to Christ. The reward is the ability to reflect and shine His glory. That's our reward. The ability to reflect and to shine the glory of God. You know what? We think that when, okay, so there's going to be rewards. Okay, what I want in my house that I get, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I was just wondering, in the bathroom, could we maybe have something like this? Because we're so used to the material things, so used to the things that we love, that we put those together with our life in heaven and our life with Christ. But it's going to be so different. I know it's going to show up later here, but it's the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't know what my mansion's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, Spanish. Is it going to be, you know, what's the style of it? What does a mansion look like? Is it a tent? Oh, what in the world? I can only put it to my earthly thoughts. But eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And so the reward, the shine of His glory, 1 Corinthians 15:41-42, and Luke 19:15-26. Paul said, the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that God has prepared, compared with the glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has it all together. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Oh, I've seen a little bit of that happening. Now, a lot of that has happened, obviously. And I think all of my Christian life, I've said, yep, that's happening right now. Everybody's running to and fro. Everybody's looking for information all over the place. Everybody's wanting this. That's true. Yes, information is doubling at a rate of every 2 years right now. Informational knowledge is increasing, is doubling every 2 years now. And so all of the busyness of the world that we see people running to and fro in the cars, in the planes, all those sorts of things, I would say to you that that's not exactly what this is saying. It says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Because at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Many will look into the book of Daniel. Many will want to know what it has to say. Many will want to know because of the book of Revelation that is now here. And we can read that and we can put these two books together. They want to know more. They want to come closer to the Lord because Daniel sealed up this book for the appointed time for it to be open. And so all of that, all working together. And some of the commentators, let's see, it speaks of the busyness of these days, but more so it will be a time where teachers rise up and clarify what's being spoken here. Darby says many shall, translates it this way, many shall diligently investigate and knowledge shall increase. Fawcett says, many shall scrutinize it, running through every page. And Lupode, many shall diligently peruse it. Many shall diligently peruse it, and knowledge shall be increased. So that translation of getting more of the knowledge of what God has written down here. Daniel will not understand it, but the eyes of many will run to and fro across the pages eagerly, excited to know what God has in his word for us. Revelation 22:10 says, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." You see the difference, or how they come together, really. The time that Daniel opens up is the time that Revelation opened up at the same time. And so they explain each other. All that was shut up by to Daniel and the Jews of the day is now unveiled to believers, so that with the book of the Revelation before us, we may now understand the message of the book of Daniel. Putting the two together. The sealing of it by Daniel was for the purpose of preserving these inspired words. If it had been open to people at that time, it would have been scrutinized, it would have been torn apart, it would have been ruined, it would have been lost. It wouldn't have made it to the day when it was supposed to make it. But God made sure that that did happen because he sealed it up so that there, you know, we talked about earlier on, it was the prophecies were so spot on that they said it had to have been written afterwards because it was so spot on every one of those points. And so this, because it was sealed, helps us to keep that so that it opened up at the right time. Does that make sense? Okay. It didn't to me. So while I was saying it... in light of the prophecies contained in it, Daniel might become one of the most widely read books in the last days preceding Christ's second coming. What do you think? This is the biggest study we women have ever had for the book of Daniel. This is the biggest group of ladies that are studying it and guys that are studying it with us. So many are looking into the book of Daniel. Many are looking into the book of Revelation right now because Jesus Christ is coming back, just like he said he would. And so then we move on to verse 5. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on the riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. Did you look at that? He was above the waters of the river. This is referring to chapter 10. In chapter 10, these are the same people that were there in chapter 10, verse 5. The man in linen was, in fact, Christ himself, which was a post-incarnate of Christ. Post-incarnation of Christ. It was after his resurrection, what he looked like after his resurrection. And so you see him there, you see the three there, and it just reminds me of that time when he went up to be with the, went up while they were watching him. And so how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand, so both hands to heaven, swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, when it's been completely torn down, when they have come to submission, all these things shall be finished. And so, how long shall the fulfillment of these things be? So 3.5 years. It was mentioned in 725, Daniel 725, and Daniel 927, these 3.5 years, part of the tribulation, half of the tribulation period time being 7 years. This will be the time that begins when the Antichrist sits down in the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God. He is called the Abomination of Desolation in Matthew 24:15 and Revelation 11:3. How long will it be? Matthew 24:22 says, "For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." Mercy triumphs over judgment. God himself will care for us. Of course, we won't be there. Right. Okay, because we're speaking to the Jews here, but it's affecting the Gentiles as well. We will come to the end of the time of the Gentiles. That's what Daniel is all about, coming to the end of the Gentiles. All of this, these last chapters, are dealing with the Jews and dealing with the Jerusalem. And dealing with the coming of the Lord. So in verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Daniel was not told anything more except for the assurance of this. And he said, the Lord said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end," till now. Verse 10, "Many shall be purified, made white, and refined." That recognition, that encouragement to Daniel, that there are going to be many during that time that are going to get saved. There are going to be many who are going to be purified. There are going to be many that are going to be wearing white. There are many that are going to be refined. What happens when you're refined? You get sifted, right? Refined sugar is almost like a powder, right? We're going to be made into his image. "But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And from that, the day that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be that 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. And so we have, when God chastens his children, the principle is always the same: for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness. Hebrews 12:10. It is for our profit that we are disciplined. An undisciplined child, you've been around undisciplined children. I've been around undisciplined dogs. Nobody disciplines a cat, I'm sorry, but it's, there's no way. But it's not fun, is it? It's not good to be around someone who's undisciplined. It's not good to be around an animal that's undisciplined. God disciplines us so that we might be partakers of his holiness. They will all be jewels. There will all be jewels. That was not a mistake. Not a mistake. We will all be jewels. We will all be jewels in the crown. We give those jewels in the crown. So where was I before I was blah, blah, blahing? In the tribulation, many Jews will be saved. John heard the elders asking, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" They are Revelation 7, 13 and 14. "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Those are the ones. And God was assuring Daniel that they would be there, but the wicked will not understand. They have persisted, the wicked have persisted in willful unbelief and shall not see the good when it's set before them. Have you ever known someone who can't see anything good set before them? There's always something wrong with it, whatever it is. It's the wrong color. It's the wrong height. It's the wrong wheels. It's the wrong... the plant is too tall. The plant is too short. The plant is... There's always something that's not just right. And so the wicked can't see the goodness of God because of their unbelief. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And so, but the wise shall understand. John 16:13 says that he will show us the things to come. And again, Paul said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. He searches us. I don't understand. Lord, I need some wisdom. Then you go to James 1:5. He who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Okay, in verses 11 and 12, I know you all want to talk about the difference in the days, right? What are the difference in the days? Why was it 3.5 years is 1260? There's 30 days added in here. What are those 30 days for? How did they get there? Who gave it to them? Why is it in there? And so the difference between those days have different opinions. Ironside suggests that the extra days will be devoted to purging out from the kingdom all things that offend and are evil. Talbot says it is the time when the sanctuary is cleansed and the earth is purified. There were others who said other things. And I say there's no reason to be dogmatic on either one of them. Because it's not written. We're not told, so I'm not going to stand on something that I think it might be this way. So that clears up all that whole verse 11, right? So that's all. We're all done with that. And so, and verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That's all taken care of because it's not explained. So, and that's why it's all taken care of. Daniel was told now, but you... Verse 13, go your way till the end, for you're going to die, you're going to rest, and you will rise to your inheritance at the end of days. You continue to live, Daniel, the way that you have lived. Daniel lived a life of commitment. He lived a life of purity. He lived a life of commitment to God. It says that when we started this, he was a man of purpose. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of prophecy. He was a man of purpose. He had purposed in his heart long ago that he would follow the Lord, and he continues to do that. So he was told that he would, so there would be that reward that comes to him, and he would arise to that inheritance at the end of time, at the time that's coming up. So where has he been? Okay, now, where has he been now? Where is he now? Yes, but it says he's going to be raised. Where he is at, in the eyes of God, who sees all things all at the same time, it's all happening right now. Does that make any more sense? Yeah, you're all looking at me like this. I know you woke up that way. That's what you're saying. I know you woke up that way. God sees everything happening at exactly the same time. So when I die here, I'm with the Lord immediately. But what about the resurrection? Well, yeah, because it just happened. In eyes of God. So is that just more confusing than you ever wanted to be a part of? Talk to me later. Okay, so Daniel's told to keep living the way that you're living and know that at the end you will be there. Persecution and tribulation will come, but keep going. And when life on earth is over, you will rest. And then your day of resurrection and reigning will come. Your day of reward will come. Here's the challenge to us. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Revelation 2:10, don't fear any of those things which are about to come. That's a word to all of us. Don't fear those things that are about to come. You be faithful, and I will give you a crown of life. So the book of Daniel ends in victory for Daniel and for all who trust in Daniel's God. The best is yet to be. Matthew 25:34 says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you before the foundation of the world." So I say to you, keep your fork. Now, some of you might not know what that means. Do you not know what that means, keep your fork? There's the story of the lady, the elderly lady who was planning her own funeral. And she said to the pastor, I want you to make sure that I'm holding a fork in the casket, going to be an open casket, she planned it. Make sure that there's a fork in my hand. And then I want you to tell people this. You know, at the end of a meal, they tell you to keep your fork. You know that it's not Jell-O. You know that it's not pudding. You know that it's something of substance. So keep your fork. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. Now is the day. None of us knows how much time we have. Years ago, Odin Fong was preaching to some people, and he said, "I will give you 10 seconds to accept the Lord." And he counted down 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1. Because none of us have as much time as we think we have. Keep your fork. Give your life to Christ. Shine for Him. And I will see you next week. Stay in the Word over the summer. I know you're going to be back here next week, but I'm going to remind you just in case, so I can remind you next week. Stay in the Word over the summer. Okay, so Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your Word. I thank you, Lord, that you are in complete control. I thank you that you know all things, Lord. Thank you that you sealed up this book until just now, Lord. And now it's open for all of us to see, all of us to read, all of us to understand, Lord, that you are in complete control and you will do as you said you will do. And Lord, that we will rule and reign with you. Lord, thank you, God, so much for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, God, that you want to live in my heart. You want to lead my life. You want to be a part of who I am. Lord Jesus, I want to be in your family. And so I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, would you come and live in my heart, take over everything, and help me to do my very best to live for you. And I, at the end of the day, Lord, you get all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. We want to bow our whole life down.
for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up.